Good morning. Welcome you all. Someone is excited about communion, so it is very good to see you all here this morning, and I pray you all feel welcome, and I thank you, Jack, very much for that opening to give us the history of and the foreshadowing of the one for all sacrifice that our Lord Jesus would make. And it's important to know the old in order to understand the new, and you can never separate the two, and we don't fully understand the new without knowing the knowledge of the old, and so they fit together. It's God's program. He has written it all, and for us to be revealed to us, and he gives us understanding through his Holy Spirit. Now, it's been a while since we've had a communion, as we said this morning already, and I'm sure many of you have been desiring it, to have it in person. We've had some online, and to be able to do it in person is what it's really about, that common union, to be in the presence of others. And I think of the words that our Lord Jesus shared at the Last Supper in Luke 22, verse 15. He said, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, we don't know what God will allow to come upon us in this life and what we will go through, but he will see us through these things. And we are here to honor our Lord with this supper, knowing he will see us through every difficulty we will face when we trust in him. And it's truly by his strength that we move. As believers in Jesus, as Lord and Savior, there are certain sacred observances, such as baptism of repentance and the Lord's Supper for communion. It is a communion between our Lord and ourselves and as a body, a unified body of believers. When we read of the Lord's Supper, as revealed to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we often read this passage for communion, and we already heard part of it. In it, if you read that section, you will see that there are two different warnings that Paul gives. One that precludes him speaking about the supper, and one that concludes him speaking of the supper. In verses 17 to 22, Paul is addressing the body of the church as a whole, how there was disunity within the Corinthian church because of fleshly reasons. And so he warns them in these verses, and I would like to read 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 to 22. Paul writes, Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Paul was not relenting. He was giving them a stern talking to, you could say. He was, because he loved them and cared about them, you wouldn't say those difficult words to them unless you did care about them. And he wanted them to be warned. Similarly, we read in the Gospels that Jesus warned his disciples at that Passover supper. He warned them as a whole, as one body. In Matthew 26, verse 31, Jesus said, "All you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." There was going to be disunity. They were going to be scattered. And Luke further reveals in his gospel that there was strife among the disciples over which of them should be accounted the greatest, a according to Luke 22, verse 24. There was a certain strife within them. They're trying to elevate one another over the other. And so this first warning we should heed as we come to the Lord's table is to consider one another in the faith, to not put any stumbling blocks before one another, but to think of one another more highly than ourselves, so that there is unity within the body. And if there's any faults, we bring that to one another. The second warning Paul speaks of comes after he had spoken of the Lord's Supper in verses 27 to 32. And this deals with the personal state, our relational position with the Lord, how we are in the faith personally. And these verses I would like to read, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 to 32. Paul once again writes, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." We certainly receive chastening when we go astray and go counter to God's will, but he does that also out of love, to bring us back into the fold and to be following after him. And once again, Jesus, at the Lord's Supper, had a parallel example of that relational position of ourselves with him. And he used the personal example of Judas, one who did not examine himself. And so he ate and drank unworthily, which brought damnation to himself. In Matthew 26, we already heard from Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, verses 20 to 25, Jesus brings to light that which Judas was about to commit. Verse 20, "Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said." And so the second warning we should heed when coming to the Lord's table is, what is the condition of our relationship with God? Have we examined ourselves? Have we confessed and repented of our faults before the Lord? Are we walking with the Lord as he directs? These two warnings serve as a response to anyone who would neglect the commandments of Jesus. For if you think, Jesus summed up the law in two commandments, and they parallel these two warnings that Paul gives. We know that Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That is our personal relationship with God. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. That is the unity within the body. When we honor those two commandments, when we honor the commandments that God has laid out before us, we do so because we truly love our Lord Jesus. And in doing so, we acknowledge the seriousness of God's warnings. For if we truly love the Lord, then we will examine ourselves before him. And if we truly love our neighbor, then we will desire to reconcile any faults that we have between them. And so, if you have considered these warnings today, I invite all who have been baptized upon the confession of faith to partake in the communion of the Lord's Supper this morning. This is the sacred observance that Jesus has instructed the church to honor, and yet the specifics of it are not exactly laid out. We heard this morning from Jack that Israel was given very specific orders. They were told the exact date they were to have this Passover would be. They were told the exact animal that they were supposed to take, how they were to kill it, how they were to prepare it, how they were to prepare themselves. Everything was very exact. But with the Lord's Supper, there is grace. We live in an age of grace. And so Jesus doesn't say exactly how often or when exactly you're supposed to have communion. Some have very often, some have fewer. He doesn't say that the bread has to be made exactly this way or what the cup has to be exactly. No, it's not as specific as it was in the Old Testament. In God's grace, he has allowed variation in these specifics because communion is not a work of salvation. Just as the bread is not the real flesh of Christ, nor the drink the real blood of Christ, but they are significant pictures and symbols that should not be lost in our remembrance of Christ's sacrificial offering for us. When we partake in the Lord's Supper and we partake together, we do so in all seriousness, realizing we do not understand the full price, yet Jesus was willing to pay it once for all, and now we look forward in great anticipation to his coming in the clouds, where Jesus will gather us, and then we look forward to when he will drink it anew with us in his Father's kingdom, as he has promised in Matthew 26, verse 29.